You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Better yet, how about the last day of September? Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Hope you had a good weekend. I think my back is on the mend. After doing nothing all weekend. And the thing that kills my back is doing the show. Yeah. So if those of you that have back issues, mine is specifically linked to kind of, I guess, the strain you put on your low back when you stay in a certain position. Like for me, it's doing the show and then editing, which is kind of you're in a chair, but you're leaning forward. So if you have, I've seen chairs over the weekend, right? They're like ergonomic chairs, and they're like stools, and they're like slanted forward. Does anybody actually use anything like that that's like a grown-up? Or is it the same people that wear Birkenstock shoes? Yeah, nobody I know does that. And then the other thing I saw was stand-up desks. So I didn't think that was a bad idea. Stand-up desks. Like, you could defend that in public. Yes, I thought so. Yeah, you could defend a stand-up desk. That's like totally like insanity craziness, right? So if you have any recommendations, let me know. I would love to hear what you do, to make sure that you keep your back strong, and especially in particular your lower back. Because for me, like I could get a roller, right? I can lay on the floor and I can roll my back, right? I can arch my back to the back. The thing in the last week that I wasn't able to do was go from like sitting down, and then I try to stand up, right? And so picture yourself getting out of a chair and you're half bent over, like at a 45 degree angle. To go from that 45 degrees to straight up, I couldn't do. Well, I mean, I could, but it took me a while. You know, so like sitting in a car and then getting out of the car and standing straight up. That was my lot last week. However, let me just tell you about Friday. First of all, let me tell you about today, then I'll tell you about Friday. Today you're going to meet the long-awaited rendezvous with Mrs. Smith. Okay. Now, Mrs. Smith, not her real name, but you don't need to know that. She's going to make us smart about Iran. Okay. And you don't even need to know why she can't use her name. Just know that she's not going to use her name. All right. So, yeah, makes it even more interesting, doesn't it? A little bit of mystery. Yeah, pretty motivating. So anyway, you're going to hear her in the second hour today. We're going to do Iran 101. From culture to geography to how presidents get elected to, what we've kind of done with Grant. Mrs. Smith's going to walk us through. So anyway, that's pretty cool. Fired up about it. So you're going to hear from her today. Alex Hollings will come on tomorrow. And then Grant comes on Wednesday. So cool show this week. And then Jack Riley going to join us the following week. And not sure what else. But I got to do another Battlefield story. Yeah, I'm a little bit irritated with myself about that. But anyway, so let me tell you about Friday. So that's today, Friday. I was on the phone with somebody, and at the end of our discussion, you know, I kind of thanked him for the discussion, and then he said, well, there was one other reason I wanted to talk to you. And I said, what was that? I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, I heard you were the man when it comes to PTSD. I said, well, I don't know who told you that, but that's the fucking truth. But that's the fucking truth, because I am. And he laughed, right? And so he tells me his story of something that happened to him. And so we just kind of shot the shit about it for about an hour. And then got off the phone, and which was cool, right? So my daughter's here, Colleen. She come home from school and had a friend with her who plays volleyball with her. And so I walk out of the studio, which is one of my back bedrooms, and I walk out of the studio and I walk into the kitchen. And they're sitting there talking, and Colleen says, who are you talking to? And I said, oh, I was talking to XYZ. And I told her the story. I said, you know, we're talking about this. And then towards the end of the conversation, it turned into this. And it's just a good conversation. Colleen's friend looks at me and says, could you help my dad? And my head snapped. I said, tell me about it. What happened? And she starts telling me, his mother gave him up when he was 10, and he got in trouble. And then, when he was 12, you know, he got put in the California Youth Authority facility and stayed there till he was 18. And, you know, and she said he just had a tough life, and, you know, he goes to therapy and he's trying to do good, but it doesn't really seem to help. And listen to this. And they gave him a bunch of drugs, but he doesn't like them. I'm like, I can help him. She's probably 16. Sitting in my kitchen. She gets tears in her eye. So I get my card and I hand it to her. And I said, look, you know, there's nothing wrong with your dad. This stuff's hard, but I promise you I can help him. And she was so excited. So she starts talking about her dad and whatnot. And so I take them. They had a volleyball game, I don't know, in like Baldwin Park or some godforsaken place. So I take them to their bus. Then I'm supposed to go to dinner. I'm supposed to go to dinner on Friday night with Ronnie Reyes, right? For those of you who listen to the program, Ronnie Reyes is a Gold Star kid from, his dad was killed in Vietnam, in the hill fight surrounding Khe Sanh. So I'm trying to like do stretching exercises so I don't look like Frankenstein. And I was even having problems sitting up for an extended period of time. Yeah, that's like how bad it was. There was like pressure in my low back. It sucked. So I'm doing all this stuff. And I get dressed. I go to we meet at this Mexican food place in Garden Grove. In Garbage Grove, yeah. So we meet there. And let me tell you, I walk into the place and I'm immediately excited, right? Because there's a lot of people there. And so what do you know when you see a lot of people? Good food, right? And then you look around, you see a lot of fat people. You're like, yeah, I'm in the right place. So I don't know who picked this place, but no, Ronnie picked it. So, and I'm supposed to meet Ronnie and a guy named Rich. Richard goes by Rich. Now, I didn't really remember, like, why we were meeting, but it had to do with, you know, some stuff that Ronnie had got involved in, and with 1st Battalion, 9th Marine, Alumni Association, yada, yada, yada. So I go there, and I get there first, right? And, only by a couple minutes, though. And so, then they show up. So we sit down, right, and we start chit-chatting. And Rich is, like, dressed nicer than I am, and Ronnie. And he's like, oh, man, I might be a little bit overdressed. I'm like, yeah, you going to a prom? What's up? He goes, well, no, I was coming to meet you. And so I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, man, I was coming to meet you. So, you know, I wanted to dress for it. And I was like, well, holy shit. So we sat down and we start talking about, you know, post-traumatic winning and Ronnie's trips to Vietnam. And Rich is talking about, he's the president now of, I don't know what it's officially called, but it's the 1st Battalion, 9th Marines Alumni Association. For lack of a better term, I should get the right title. And he told me he's a corpsman, right? So he's a Desert Storm guy, and he's the first non-Vietnam guy to be president of it. And so he's telling the story about that, and he's just an awesome dude. And so we're talking about post-traumatic winning and changing the narrative, and you can see how excited he's getting. And so, I don't know what time we got to dinner. We were supposed to start at 7. Everybody got there at 7:30. I think we left at 10:30 that night. We shut down the restaurant, pretty much. And the food was awesome. And it was just, a great, like, post-traumatic winning day. And I tell everybody who listens to this, man, this now happens to me all the time, and it can happen to you, man. All you got to do is pay attention and preach the gospel. And preach the gospel. And I'll tell you, it is the coolest, most fun, existence in the world. Touching people's lives. And all you're doing is telling them the truth and injecting a brilliant ball of hope into their life and saying, I can show you how to get there. What? That exists? Shangri-La exists? Well, it ain't Shangri-La. Well, maybe it's kind of Shangri-La. Like, for the damaged. Yeah, it is Shangri-La, for God's sakes. It's just, you know, from one event to the next just stumbling, right, limping my way through Friday, but got home and you go to bed and you're like, happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, 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 right? It's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. And so I want to offer that to you, man. If you don't have those 3 goals and 9 commandments downloaded to your phone, you download that shit right now. Right? And pay attention when people start admitting and just ask them, hey, man, you got a minute? And you, yeah, you, yeah, I'm talking to you, right? Maybe could be as cool as me and have these things happen to you all the time, because they do. They happen to me all the time. It seems like out of the blue, like out of the blue. And maybe it's not so much out of the blue now because I talk about it for a living, but, you know, the impromptu stuff is maybe the stuff that makes me the happiest. You know, and, you know, Colleen's friend, right, just sitting in my kitchen, you know, all of a sudden looks at me. And then Colleen and I were talking about it last night. She brought it up last night. She said, Dad, she was going to cry. Colleen said, when we were driving to school, she told me later that she had to fight really hard not to cry in the car. Yeah, how cool. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's just the coolest stuff in the world. And, you know, I just keep my fingers crossed on the heels of the headlines that, you know, filled the DOD news publications on Friday about the suicide rate. I just hope that, you know, post-traumatic winning gets a chance. I hope it has a chance to touch the lives of other people like it touches, like the powerful way which it already touches people. So, and I'm hopeful that it will. I'm hopeful that it will. So, good Monday morning to you. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Download that shit to your phone and pay attention. And don't be afraid, man. Hey, could I talk to you? That's all it takes. That's all it takes to change somebody's life. Do that shit. Dedicated to everybody who touched my life on Friday. Every time I do that stuff, it just fires me up. It does two things. One, the first thing it does, it affirms to me the truths that you all have helped me discover here. Because I didn't know all this when I started. Coming close to 3.5 years ago. I didn't know all this stuff. But you all and the people that have come on this program have, you know, taught me. And I've learned. And so the first thing when I have days like Friday, is it affirms in me that which you have taught me, that which I believe in. That's what I know to be true, that has come out of my culture, my warrior culture, and that which I know can change the country. I know it can, right? I know it because I see the power of it all the time. And I know how empty what people have been given is. You know, that little girl sitting in my kitchen, I mean, she told the same story that Marines told, right? You know, they gave him a bunch of drugs and he just hated the way it made him feel. And he's gone to therapy, but it doesn't seem to work and he hates it. What does that sound like, man? That's our culture. And that's why what we have to give is so important. So pretty cool. So this is dedicated to everybody who touched my life on Friday, who affirmed for me even deeper, you know, my belief in what I know to be true, and how good it feels. They make me feel when I cross paths with them. So a big fat fucking thank you. from me to the people that touched my life on Friday, for all the motivation that it gives me. So, thank you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that little paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marine. And the infantry got its name, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility
to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. 2 include shithole weather updates. You know, Montana man, supposedly Montana's got 2 to 4 feet of snow already. What? Exactly. Let me ping Montana man. All right. Currently, it is raining in 73 in Quantico. It is cloudy in 81 at Camp Lejeune. Fall is falling on us. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms. Sunny and 58 degrees. Yee. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. Sunny and 55. I said, fall is falling, man. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark cloudy, 73. Okinawa, no change. Dark cloudy and 81. In Ramadi, fall is falling. Early evening, 92 degrees under clear skies. And in Helmand Province of Afghanistan, early evening, 88 degrees under clear skies. Very much like California, honestly. The weather is. Currently, in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 60 degrees under sunny skies, looking for a high of 75 today, 75 tomorrow, and 82 on Wednesday. Shithole weather updates. All right. Putnam, Connecticut, at the Hale YMCA. Enjoying the benefits of ass-busting morning PT. Weather as follows. Clear, 50 degrees. Winds are calm. Instructed by my wife this morning, it's too cold to sleep with the windows open. Chris from Webster, Mass. It is. Hey, let me tell you, I even made that decision over the weekend. Windows got closed. That's right. Yeah, last night, windows got closed. So I'm with your wife, Chris. Pleasantville, Pennsylvania, in the foothills of the Allegheny Mountains, 60 miles from Erie, Pennsylvania. How about that? Nancy's trainable. Right? She still shies away from profanity, so we'll have to work on that. Anyway, 62 degrees. Looking for a high of 72. Wow. Winds are calm. Cloudy with light rain throughout the course of the day today. So there you have it, Western Pennsylvania. All right. Shithole weather update from Church Bridge, Saskatchewan, which is 211 miles north of Minot. You guys, now you're starting to know where these places are. Overcast, 34 degrees Fahrenheit. Winds out of the northeast at 11 miles an hour. Looking for an afternoon high of 39 degrees with light rain. Thankfully, we missed the snowfall that blanketed southern Alberta and Saskatchewan. The satellite map shows that part of Montana were also hit hard. I wonder if big timber was in the heavy snow area. Well, we're attempting to find out, but Montana Man so far is not communicating. And Big Dave in Vacaville. Currently, Vacaville, 49 degrees, clear, looking for a high of 69, a light breeze of 9 miles an hour from the west. Huh? Everybody's trainable. I like that. Yes. That's right. Now, if we could just, get Nancy to drop a word of profanity or two, then we'll be making real progress. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines. And then at the top of the hour, Mrs. Smith joins us. Yeah, she's going to make us smart about Iran. Iran 101. There you have it. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio on a Monday. Coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Any fishing needs, you can call me. Don't worry about it, that's my seed, oh, that's all me. Just know if you cross her, then you cross me, cross me, cross me. If you, if you, if you, if you, right out here. Any fishing needs, you can call me. Don't worry about it, that's my seed, oh, that's all me.
Slowing it down for all you couples out there. So if you're one of those people that lives in cubicles, just put your Bluetooth headset on. And go find your boss, right? Hopefully she's a female, but whatever. And just walk right up to her and say, hey baby, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Come here. I want to dance with you. And then... right? Take her in your arms. Okay, maybe not.
You can call me. Don't worry about it. That's my seed. Oh, that's all me. Just know if you cross her, then you cross me. Cross me. Cross me. If you cross her.
Eddie Sheeran on a Monday.
Nobody coming close, yeah. And
the thing that you... it is amusing to think about, though. Come on. My favorite part coming up. I like all the grunting. Here you go. Boris Johnson has a smoking hot chick. How the hell does that happen? Good God. Getting accused of groping somebody. That's not good. Alright, now I want to play a little inspiration for you, a little motivation here. I'm going to give you a little of my daily Frankel, alright, thing, okay? So, pay attention. From Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. The four cuts that are my favorite in the book, alright? Here you go.
To be sure, a human being is a finite thing, and his freedom is restricted. It is not freedom from conditions, but it is freedom to take a stand toward the conditions. As I once put it, as a professor in two fields, neurology and psychiatry, I am fully aware of the extent to which man is subject to biological, psychological, and sociological conditions. But in addition to being a professor in two fields, I am a survivor of four camps. Concentration camps, that is. And as such, I also bear witness to the unexpected extent to which man is capable of defying and braving even the worst conditions conceivable.
Okay, let me get my secret decoder ring out. That's Frankl's basic thesis for what he believes. And as other psychiatrists and other schools of thought in psychiatry say, man is an animal, right, and it reverts back to these behaviors. Frankl says, yes, 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 we are all subject to the human condition. I understand that. But I've seen man defy that. Therefore, I know something that you don't. Okay, so that's your first one. Here's number two.
I had none of this in mind when I wrote the book in 1945, and I did so within 9 successive days, and with the firm determination that the book would be published anonymously. In fact, the first printing of the original German version does not show my name on the cover, though at the last moment, just before the book's initial publication, I did finally give in to my friends, who had urged me to let it be published with my name at least on the title page. At first, however, it had been written with the absolute conviction that, as an anonymous opus, it could never earn its author literary fame. I had wanted simply to convey to the reader by way of a concrete example that life holds a potential meaning under any conditions, even the most miserable ones. And I thought that if the point were demonstrated in a situation as extreme as that in a concentration camp, my book might gain a hearing. I therefore felt responsible for writing down what I had gone through, for I thought it might be helpful to people who are prone to despair. And so it is both strange and remarkable to me that, among some dozens of books I have authored, precisely this one, which I had intended to be published anonymously so that it could never build up any reputation on the part of the author, did become a success. Again and again I therefore admonish my students, both in Europe and in America, don't aim at success. The more you aim at it and make it a target, the more you're going to miss it. For success, like happiness, cannot be pursued. It must ensue. And it only does so as the unintended side effect of one's personal dedication to a cause greater than oneself, or as the byproduct of one's surrender to a person other than oneself. Happiness must happen, and the same holds for success. You have to let it happen by not caring about it. I want you to listen to what your conscience commands you to do, and go on to carry it out to the best of your knowledge. Then you will live to see that in the long run, I say, success will follow you precisely because you had forgotten to think of it.
Boom! How about that for a little dose of thought on a Monday morning? Let me get my secret decoder ring out for you, okay? Find that which gives you meaning in your life and do that. I can tell you that whatever success post-traumatic winning has is simply my devotion to what I was passionate about, to what I loved, to what was essentially greater than me, and that was this pain that exists on the backside of trauma entering into your life. And the more I pursue the truth, right, the more I give of myself, guess what happens? The more good things happen. But I think it starts from not going to work. Never going to work a day in your life. Doing that which you love, that which you're passionate about. Now, I know there's people out there listening going, well, fuck, I've got a wife and three kids, and this is what supports it. Then you got to augment it. You got to augment it by volunteering, by doing something else to get your passion into your life. And there's a balance there that you can strike, right? I don't expect people to, like, stop. I'm going to be Kwai Chang. I'm going to go put on a robe and want. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Right? But you have to have that in your life. Right? And again, the more you're true to yourself, the more you do things that are meaningful to you, and the more you give of yourself, the greater your life will become. And this thing is perfectly, you know what? And I was ignorant of Frankl, you know, until I heard Josh talk about him. I thought, well, maybe I should read that son of a bitch. Who is he? How do you spell his last name? Frankel? No, Frankl. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah, pretty profound though, right? But 100% true. 100% true.
We must never forget that we may also find meaning in life even when confronted with a hopeless situation, when facing a fate that cannot be changed. For what then matters is to bear witness to the uniquely human potential at its best, which is to transform a personal tragedy into a triumph, to turn one's predicament into a human achievement. When we are no longer able to change a situation, just think of an incurable disease such as inoperable cancer, we are challenged to change ourselves.
That is post-traumatic winning, right? Right? On the backside of trauma, changing ourselves, the way we look at it, the way we focus on it, giving that to others, and transforming not only their life, but our own life as well. Right? Yeah, Mac's secret decoder ring on a Monday.
Freedom, however, is not the last word. Freedom is only part of the story and half of the truth. Freedom is but the negative aspect of the whole phenomenon whose positive aspect is responsibleness. That is why I recommend that the Statue of Liberty on the East Coast be supplemented by a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast.
Don't worry about it, that's my seat, that's all me. The snow, if you cross her, you yeah, how awesome is that? Right? Our culture today focuses on the Statue of Liberty. Doesn't even know about the Statue of Responsibility. And if you only have one of those statues in your life, guess what? Your life's in balance and fucked up. Nobody coming close. Yeah, there you go. How about that? In the deep end of the pool at 8:47 a.m. Pacific time in the morning on the last day of September. You know what I've taken to noticing now? How much Botox politicians inject into their own mugs.
Anything she needs, she can call me. Don't worry about it, that's my seat, that's all me. Just know if you cross her, then you cross me, cross me, cross me. If you cross her.
And it might be a song about revenge, too. Alright, we'll check some news. Just saw a shot of Mike Pence speaking in public. I believe he's speaking at the retirement ceremony and the transferring of the billet of the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from General Dunford to General Milley. So I think that's going on at Fort Myers in D.C. Headlines, Stars and Stripes, extremists attack U.S. base in Somalia. A suicide car bomb and other armed militants attacked a base used by U.S. troops in Somalia on Monday. Somalian U.S. officials said amid conflicting reports that the militants were pushed back before breaching the compound. Bursts of gunfire were heard at Beldogle base, about 60 miles northwest of the capital of Mogadishu, after a suicide car bomber detonated a vehicle packed with explosives at the gate of the facility, which includes a military airstrip, Somali security official Yusuf Abdurrahman told the Associated Press. The Al-Shabaab extremist group claimed responsibility for the attack. The U.S. Embassy in Somalia said a quick response by security forces at the base had thwarted the attack. The security forces stopped this ultimately failed attack due to their alertness and swift response, not allowing the attackers to breach the outer defensive perimeters of the base, the embassy said. We are thankful that there were no Somali National Army casualties between the multiple attacks. U.S. Africa Command said they were aware of reports and were monitoring the situation. So, stand by, but that is in the news this morning. Army test airdrops of U.S.-produced freeze-dried plasma near battlefields. Pretty interesting story, and something that, you know, as medicine continues to be revolutionized on the battlefield, the Army is testing airdrops of freeze-dried plasma as a way of getting it closer to the battlefield to help improve the survival rate for wounded soldiers, it said in a statement released this week. Soldiers at Fort Bragg, North Carolina's 432nd Blood Support Detachment jumped out of a CH-47 Chinook with dehydrated freeze-dried plasma packed in their rucksack, said the statement released on Monday. This delivery method, which was deemed infeasible with other blood products, could help reduce the loss of life on battlefields, where about 40% of combat deaths are caused by hemorrhaging, said the statement, citing the service's Medical Research and Material Command out of Fort Detrick, Maryland. Tourniquets helped in enhancing survivability for our warfighters, but it's blood that keeps them alive, the statement that quoted Army Colonel Roberto E. Marin, Material Systems Branch Chief with the Army Medical Department Board. Freeze-drying plasma changes it from a liquid to a powder, which makes it possible to store it at room temperature and easier to package in non-breakable holders, which might be rugged enough to be dropped from the air. Currently, there's no method of supplying frontline troops with blood products. From frozen blood comes in glass tubes that could break in an airdrop or a parachute jump that must be kept at cold temperatures. Freeze drying eliminates that. Freeze dried blood takes roughly 1 to 6 minutes to rehydrate and become ready to administer to the casualty. Those minutes can be the difference in life and death. Are you kidding me? Not so much the minutes. It's having it there. The U.S. used freeze-dried blood plasma back in World War II, but stopped after it was linked to hepatitis outbreaks, the military and medical research have said. Well, shit, we can conquer that, can't we? Anyway, so that's in the news today. That's good news, right? Another story in Stars and Stripes. We went through hell. Korean War vets who fought in the bloody Chosin Reservoir battle honored in Seoul. So let's see. If you were 20 in 1950, so you'd be 70 in 2000, another 50 years. And you'd be 89 now. Why are they, the battle, November 27th to December 13th. Why are they doing it now? It's the 69th anniversary of the Chosin Reservoir battle. Americans and other troops fighting under the United Nations banner were forced to stage a tactical retreat, but the 1st Marine Division is credited with preventing the Chinese from advancing south and buying time for mass evacuation. We often celebrate the accomplishments and successes of our past, Major General Bradley James, commander of U.S. Marine Corps Forces Korea, told the crowd. The Chosin campaign was not a military success as it is typically defined. However, while the primary objective was not met, it is still celebrated as one of our most successful extractions of any military force in history and a crucial event in the Korean War. The ceremony was held Friday, 2 months before the actual anniversary, to accommodate several American veterans who fought in the battle. Accompanied by family members, 25 U.S. Korean War veterans attended the 4th commemoration ceremony of the Chosin Campaign Heroes. Hundreds of South Korean veterans gave them a standing ovation as they entered the grounds, and several received a formal plaque of appreciation during the ceremony. How cool is that? Pretty cool. So again, I would imagine the reason that it was done now is the weather is more conducive for them in their 90s to actually get there and to participate in something like that. So well done on the part of the Korean government. From USNI News, Expeditionary Strike Group 2 Admiral removed from command. Commander of Expeditionary Strike Group 2 has been removed from command due to a loss of confidence, evidently because of some outside of work event. Captain Darren Nelson, Expeditionary Strike Group 2 Chief of Staff, has assumed responsibilities. Rear Admiral Eric Ross has been temporarily reassigned pending the completion of an investigation. So, that in the news. Also, I'll tell you what, some interesting reading. China launches first Type 075 big deck amphibious warship. Yeah, I talked about this on Friday. Something that you look like you've seen looks a lot like an American ship. Okay, but here's the interesting thing about it, right? Expeditionary, right? Big deck, so that they can project power. So you see stuff like this, you know, you're talking about pure warfare. Nobody else has many of these. China's produced one. They're in the process of producing a second one and evidently have plans for larger ones in the future. So, yeah, interesting reading there in USNI news. In Marine Corps Times today, one headline, large chunk of the border wall funding was diverted from Air Force Marine projects on Guam. Syria demands withdrawal of American and Turkish forces. And then there's an article about the Marines that are being detained at Camp Pendleton. Theft of smoke grenades, LSD distribution, including in charges for 13 Marines arrested in human smuggling probe. 13 Marines from Camp Pendleton arrested in July for alleged involvement in human smuggling have been charged, according to the Marine Corps. Charge sheets obtained last Thursday by Marine Corps Times show allegations ranging from theft of smoke grenades, which is, you know what, again, it's pretty standard stuff, right? It's that, to me, that's not. Right. You're not supposed to do it, but it's not atypical. Construction of justice. You know, construction of justice. Obstruction of justice. What happens is you hand those things out, right, while you're operating. And, you know, and then what happens is somebody doesn't throw one and they stick it in their pack and then you turn everything in and they keep it. You know, because they think they're going to do something cool with it. Anyway. Obstruction of justice, distribution of drugs, tampering with cell phones to protect Marines under investigation. So, again, you know, that's pretty far from the flagpole, wouldn't you say? Pretty far from the flagpole. North Korea wants the President of the United States to make a bold decision to revive diplomacy. This is from the Associated Press. North Korea accused the United States on Friday of failing to follow through on summit agreements between Donald Trump and North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un, but said it is placing hope in the U.S. president's wise option and bold decision to restart talks. So, anyhow, that is in the news, I know, really. You want to act stupid, and then, you know, now the sanctions are biting you in the ass. No relief in sight, so now we're going to say somebody's not living up to their promises. All right, we got it. Top five stories in early bird. Obama SecDef talks Trump administration transgender troops and how to lead half the federal government. Ash Carter. Never mind. Number two, Syria demands withdrawal of all American and Turkish forces. Right. When you can't, when your country is a territory and you don't control it, nobody's going to listen to you. Okay. Jihadists attack U.S. Baldogle training base in Somalia. We've talked about that. Number four, ACFT, standards released. Test proponents talk rollout, addresses soldiers' common concerns. So that is the Army Combat Fitness Test. So there you have it. Officially rolled out. End of the fiscal year. The Army announced on Friday morning that it's officially kicking off its transition from its pilot phase of Army Combat Fitness Test to initial operating capability. That's right. The standards are officially released and can be viewed here. In order to max out the gender-neutral six-event test, a soldier will need to lift 340 pounds on the deadlift, deadlift, hit 12.5 meters on the standing power throw, perform 60 hand release push-ups, make a time of 1 minute 33 minutes on the sprint drag carry, perform 20 leg tucks on a pull-up bar, and run 2 miles in 13 minutes and 30 seconds. So, what, 650 gets you 13, 645, close to 7-minute miles. The Army also released a video showing the modified Army combat fitness test for soldiers on permanent profiles that includes 3 aerobic test events. So there you have it. They've been working on that for a while. The Army goes rolling along. Number 5, Stealthy No More. A German radar vendor says it tracked the F-35 jet in 2018 from a pony farm. Story in C4ISRNet. Is the illustrious history of the F-35 fighter jet in the illustrious history of the F-35 jet, at a pony farm outside Berlin as a place where one company claims the plane's stealth cover was blown. Article about that. Oh, my God. Leave it to those Germans. Overseas operations. UN says night vision devices are being supplied to the Taliban in increasing numbers. Well, that's a positive development, eh? Probably not. North Korea to Trump, make a bold decision, blah, blah, blah. Afghan protesters claim U.S. strikes killed 5 civilians. Relative to Iran, troop deployments to Saudi Arabia raise worries of a looming conflict. That's from Military Times. From the Associated Press, Iraq's removal of a counterterrorism chief sparks controversy. And I'll get to that one in a second. The Washington Post wrote a story. Amid tension with Iran, the U.S. Air Force shifts Middle East Command Center from Qatar to South Carolina. Interesting. And then in an interview that I think a lot of people have seen, the Saudi Crown Prince warned of escalation with Iran and what it will do to the world's economy. And there's in Defense One, there's a story about General Milley. And Trump's new Joint Chiefs chair is a savvy political operator. And then it says, how will he get along with the president? Well, it'll be interesting because the president, I think one thing is General Dunford lowered his profile, I think. So as not to be in the public too much and to be put on the spot relative to things that the president does. It's hard because I think that, your loyalties, right? And the president wears people out in asking you to cover his 6 on some of the crazy shit that he does. And he says. And if you don't, right, then you're going under the bus. Just real quick, Iraq's removal of its counterterrorism chief sparks controversy. The Iraqi prime minister's removal of a top military commander. Again, counterterrorism, that's a big deal, right? In these countries, right? Because you are protecting the inner circle. Normally you have, it's the internal police. Yeah, those guys report to this guy. Has triggered heated political protests and uncertainty over the weekend. At a time of soaring tensions between the country's chief security partners in the region, Iran and the United States. Prime Minister Adel Abdul Mahdi removed Lieutenant General Abdul Wahab al-Sahadi from his post as the commander of the country's elite counterterrorism forces and transferred him to the defense ministry on Friday without providing an explanation. The decision sparked speculation that some among Iraq's Iran-backed politicians were uneasy with the commander's growing popularity among Iraqis. The Arab state finds itself increasingly caught in the middle of the Iran-United States conflict as the two countries' lead rival blocs vying for influence in the region. The 56-year-old general, who in recent years led the fight against the Islamic State group, worked alongside the U.S. coalition, said he did not know the reason for the proposed transfer and would prefer to retire rather than be moved to the defense ministry. "There is no job for me at the defense ministry. I prefer to retire," he said from a phone in Iraq. He also told the Associated Press that Abdul Mahdi informed him in a phone call that he had signed an order to move him to the defense ministry, right? Government officials provided no explanation for the move. News of al-Sadi's decommissioning led most news channels in Iraq over the weekend and triggered a supportive hashtag from Iraqi fans. Many were angered by what they see as the sidelining of a prominent figure credited with successfully leading several major battles against the Islamic State group, including the 9-month battle to recapture the city of Mosul, after which the group was declared defeated in 2017. Al-Sadi is known to be on good terms with the Americans, who have been training and arming the counterterrorism force he commands. A few hundred Iraqis protested in a district in Baghdad on Sunday, with one supporter saying he saw foreign hands on the decision in reference to Iran. Former Iraqi Defense Minister Khalid al-Obeidi said that al-Sadi had been sidelined raises more than one question mark, and said the winners will be the terrorists and the Daesh outlaws, a reference to the remnants of the Islamic State. Former Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi tweeted, "Is this how the state rewards its fighters who defend the homeland?" Al-Sadi, an officer since the days of the late Iraqi President Saddam Hussein, later was trained by the Americans. The elite counterterrorism force he commands was also armed, trained, and equipped by the U.S.-led coalition. He was wounded 4 times in battles against ISIS militants. Interesting. So that's probably a pretty interesting development in Iraq. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to meet Mrs. Smith, and we're going to do Iran 101, much like we do, much like Grant has made us smart. You're going to get to hear a liberal arts discussion about Iran, and then in subsequent editions of it, we'll tackle specific issues. We're going to do, you know, Iran. What don't we know about it? What don't we understand about it? You know, for instance, I think we would all say that, well, you know, we used to have a great relationship, and the Iranian people and the American people, we don't see that much, you know, different in terms of, you know, what's eye to eye, in terms of what's, you know, what's real. But I think as she explains it, you will see that I think that we don't understand Iran very well. What we saw, what they saw, the genesis of the whole Iranian revolution, how the country exists today, yada, yada, yada. So, don't touch that dial. I promise you, you'll find it interesting. Mrs. Smith coming up next here on a Monday edition, the last day of September edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.